It has started at 3:06.
My apologies for arriving late.
Would you like me to conduct a roll call?
If you would, sir.
Thank you. Mayor's office is vacant. Ward 1 vacant. Ward 2, Commissioner Burke informed us that he would not be able to attend this meeting. Ward 3 is vacant. Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Here.
Ward 5, Chairman Clark.
Here.
And Ward 6, Vice Chair Pollock.
Here.
Chairman Clark, we do have a quorum.
Thank Number 2 on the docket is to the approval of the March 6th minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to review them?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner. And having read them, I make a motion that we accept them as accurately reflecting the business conducted.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Call for votes. Mr. Andrews?
Aye.
Mr. Clark?
Aye.
And Ms. Pollock?
Aye.
Voice vote passes 3-0.
Thank you. Next on the docket is the staff update.
Chairman Clark, members of the commission, I'll provide the business services update today. We do have a couple items that we're working on. Director and budget staff are currently compiling the budget information for fiscal year 25. That will be on mayor and council's agenda next week, April 9th. That's what has been consuming the majority of time and human resources. We are also working on the financial information related to the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, federal funded. That update will be going in front of mayor and council on the 25th of April, as well as the proposition funding. So those are our big finance and budget items that we're working on. Proposition funding includes some tax, voter-approved tax increments, and voter-approved bond issuances. The updates on those will be going in front of mayor and council also on the 25th of April. Aside from that, we're also working on hiring staff across the business services department. The city's HR team has implemented a new hiring process and module that we use as part of our ERP system that went live just about a month ago. And so we're getting our first recruitments through that process. And that's also consuming some of the business services time on getting staff onboarded. Those are the major updates of what we've been working on. Have any questions, I'm happy to answer it for you.
Commissioners, any questions?
I have none.
I have. And this, we were told about the cut in the shared income tax from Arizona. How is that impacting the search for employees? Or is it as yet?
Thank you for the question. Yes. So the change to the tax structure at the state level ripples through everything budget related, which means not just the staff. And so usually as we go through the budget process, there's always supplemental asks from departments on, here are things that we want to do over the next year. Here are staff needs that we have over the next year. With the revenue shortfall or decrease, a lot of those asks just are not doable. We don't have any funds to fund everything that we would like to. So it has an effect across the board. Depending on mayor and council's discussion next week, we'll see, hopefully service levels can continue to be at the level that they are now. I wouldn't really anticipate that the city's provided all kinds of additional services over the next 2 years as we kind of catch up, as much as we would always have great ideas of things we'd like to do. I don't think we have the resources to increase service levels. Hopefully the discussion doesn't go to decreases in service levels.
Do we have any understanding of the level of the staff in the city in terms of how many vacancies there are in places?
We do. I don't have that readily available, but the budget team, that's part of what they'll be discussing next week.
Any other questions? Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Next is the review of the ACFR. How do you pronounce that?
They've been calling it the AFR. But yeah. Commissioners, we do have, so the discussion piece, any questions you want to discuss, and then we do have staff available should those questions be things that we could answer today. If your discussion leads to additional questions that you might have that we don't have readily available, we can always document those and then have staff come back next week also, so depending on where your discussion goes. As a reminder, the end goal on the IAPC's review of the annual financial report is kind of an approval of it, that then we draft a letter that then gets sent to mayor and council.
My own feeling on this is that I want to get into this somewhat later, but this is something that I would like to set a subcommittee on to review and go over it and raise the questions. But I don't think we have sufficient staff to be able to set up a committee, since we're going to lose Commissioner Andrews after this meeting.
Yep.
So we'll do our best. I have not been able to formulate any questions yet. I would like to hear what presentation they may be giving us today, if any, and spend some more time trying to develop some questions that might make sense.
Okay. Let's see. We didn't have a presentation ready because it was the one that we gave last time around. If the other commissioners, if you have any questions, we can address them now, or we could maybe give an overview of some of the sections in the annual financial report.
Yeah, I have. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is Commissioner Pollack. I didn't review that presentation, but I know from previous ones, I have a hard time coming up with questions to ask on those because I'm not an accountant. So it's harder to formulate any questions, but anyhow.
Commissioner Andrews.
Well, most of my questions center on the Section 115 pension fund. And its inception was with the sale of about $640 million worth of certificates of participation. And currently, the fund balance, even with the gains of $15 million that were listed and a payment made out of the fund, is still almost $100 million short of the debt that was issued. The question is, two, the investment gains that are reflected, are those net of the payments that the city makes to the holders of the certificates of participation, or has that been moved away and kind of become part of the general fund so that there's no way to net the two to see how the overall effect of the 115 fund gains and losses is impacting the city's budget?
I can answer that regarding the investment gains for fund for the Section 115 pension trust. Those are net up. So the investment gains reported would be, excuse me, separate than the contributions made out of that fund.
Okay. Currently, there's listed about to be on the city's, in the city's financial statements, about $713 million worth of certificates of participation. That apparently was a reduction of about $39,000. Does that total include the $600 million worth of COPs that were issued for the 115 fund, and the reductions where you see the $39 million? I presume that's payments of principal and interest back to the holders. That's netted against the gains in the 115 fund of $15 million.
Let me bring up the statement if that helps.
Commissioner Andrews, which page is that on?
That's on page 60. Well, there 65 is where the certificates of participation are shown, and that's in the section basic financial statements.
Okay.
Certainly. And then most of what is reflected for information of the 115 fund is in management discussion and analysis. There's some reference of the gains, the increase on page 7 of that section. Then it's referenced again on page 15 of that section, where it talks about the issuance of the $645 million of certificates of participation and the $552.5 million is the current balance of that fund. Those kind of were the basis for the questions.
So this is a statement, and hopefully this is visible to you in the room. Statement of revenues and expenditures out of the Section 115 trust. The use of money and property here, that includes contributions to PSPRS out of the trust. It does not include debt service payments. Debt service payment is absorbed by the general fund. Debt service of the pension bonds that were issued.
Okay.
And the public safety contributions are $36 million. Here's the public safety. And the $52 million here is going to include transfers from the general fund and use of money and property. That's going to be interest earnings in the fund.
What page is that on?
This is page 30.
Thank you.
I don't know if the commissioners have any other questions. Do you have any area of interest you might want to have staff go over while we have them here. Sometimes the MDNA, the management discussion and analysis section, has some good comparisons at a high level. Sometimes the statistical section at the rear of the financial statements has some good comparison trends over years. Is there something particular interest that you would like to know more about while we have the AFRA pulled up? We could look at it together. That might help give you some food for thought over the next month.
Like Commissioner Andrews, I'm a little concerned with the pension issues also. But I have nothing to really indicate right now.
Marcella, maybe can you reference or pull up where the note is located that gives the pension detail?
Yes.
I like this year's cover.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of nice photographs in it, I'm sure, this year.
The years that I did it, that was one of the fun, because it's such hard work putting it together. Then if staff gets the ability to pick the pictures, that was one of the fun things to do at the end.
Yeah. Well, they did a good job.
Thank you. I'll share that with staff who help with the art. So pension note, Tucson Supplemental Retirement System is note 12, included in note 12. And then if we talk about public safety, we have the schedule of contributions for TSPRS over the last 10 years. Let me know if this is visible to those in the room. And we have those presented Tucson Fire, Tucson Police,
there are two pensions involving the public service, the police and the fire, and that's state controlled and city.
Correct. So there are basically two retirement systems. Yeah. TSRS is the city piece for everybody except for public safety, which is state managed, and it's called the PSPRS, is how it will be referenced in here. And then inside of that, you'll see fire and police broken out into two separate categories, so you can kind of get the details of each piece of that PSPRS piece.
So just a broad question, is the city interested in knowing the net effect of having funded this Section 115 pool of money and its total return by tracking investment gain and then interest payments on the debt, or is it just now separated out of sight, out of mind, and becoming a general obligation of the city itself? Is one question. The other question is, from an accounting standpoint, is it allowable to keep the certificate of participation impact in the Section 115 accounting? So you see those debt payments on an ongoing basis.
I think that would depend on the establishing of the fund or the Section 115 trust. In the city's case, I believe there's language to allow for contributions to the system, and then the governing board for that trust can make a decision on whether they can allow additional disbursements out of that trust. And in regards to tracking of the plan to see the return on investment of the issuance of debt in order to reduce the liability we have for public safety pension system, that is reported to that board, which then reports that board reports the health of the fund to the city manager.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions, Commissioner Andrews?
Well, most of this is backward looking, and mass transit, I think, is more, any questions I would have would be forward looking with the federal funds no longer available and the budgeting process going forward. The balances in the mass transit fund seem to be at lows for that fund itself. And going forward, I don't know if there's any plans for dealing with that cost, but that's really not so much a question for what was in the act for. Well, I guess that's really it.
Lois, I see your hands up.
Yeah, I have a general question. Where do you... I have this document in front of me too, but there's no way we could review this. It's voluminous. And like I said, we don't even know what you guys call things. Their stuff is always hard to find. But where do you guys show how much money they didn't spend? So any money that you have that's not allocated going into this budget process. So we know if we're in the hole or if you're in the black. So for the entire city budget.
Thank you for the question, Ms. Commissioner Pollack. Two different pieces there. So this one is going to be the financials book. We also publish a budget book, slightly different. But I think what you can find in this document is maybe the fund balance of the general fund is where you're going to see kind of the breakdown of what's left. Maybe Marcelli can give you a overview of that, and then specifically the section that shows the fund balance allocations.
Okay.
Yes, let me bring that up. I also had the budget to actuals, and yes, this is retroactively, right, reporting after the fact for the fiscal year, but it does show a comparison of the budgeted amounts by fund for each one of those funds that we're reporting on.
Fund for a fund. So can you give me an example? Can you show me one that you're talking? So what is it? Yeah, what's the?
The comparison against budget. We have, for example, here the budget to actuals for the general fund.
Okay.
And it's giving us the revenues, total revenues, total expenditures for general fund. It's giving us the budgeted amounts. If the budget changed from the original amount to a final budget, it's here. And then it's giving us the actuals by revenue category or expenditures are listed based on the function of government.
So what's other? Giving us. Okay. So what is other agencies? So you've got a big giant chunk of... I don't know. What page is that, please?
This is page 95.
Okay. All right. Let me just get down to there. So for general fund, like you're looking at. Okay, so you're getting $383 million out of taxes, $29 million out of licenses and permits, $5.5 million out of fines and forfeitures, whatever that is. Use of money and property. So does that mean rentals? You're renting property?
I think what we include in the general fund, and Amelia Evening Red is on the line as well. She's the finance manager for accounting operations. Amelia, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think for general fund, use of money and property is mostly interest earnings or losses that we report for that fund.
I must tell you, yes, that is correct.
Okay. Interests and losses in what, from what?
The interest earned by the city's investment pool, the 3.8 million, and we can give you, if that's part of the questions, we can follow up with a detailed report of all the revenues that are included in this category, for example. But I think the majority of this, if not all, is going to be the 3.8 million of interest earnings from the cash that belongs to the general fund.
Okay. Then you've got 2.9 million from federal grants and contributions. That seems like a tiny amount, but whatever.
This would only list general fund, which is not normally one of our grant funds.
Right.
We have, as an example, ARPA, which has a lot more received in federal grant revenue.
But the one that really kind of I'm interested in is other agencies, 224 million. What, that's from other agencies, the city got 224 million. What is that? What agencies are these?
Amelia, can you give us a detail of what is included in the other agencies?
Yes. So in from our fund folder, Marcella, the state shared revenue from that other agency, 110 million for the state shared income tax. And then sales tax, 81 million. And
which auto, is separate from taxes.
Separate from taxes.
So is taxes property taxes? There's a line at the very top under revenues that says taxes, but it doesn't say what kind. But you're telling me this 224 is partly taxes. What's the difference? What tax?
Yes.
Which taxes?
So the taxes, yes, include property tax and the TPT, the transaction privilege tax.
Which one? Which number? Taxes. Is that in the 383 million or is that in the 224 million?
So it's in the 383 million.
Okay,
the
so
property
what,
tax.
Okay, so property tax and what other kinds of taxes?
Transaction privilege tax.
Okay.
Use tax.
All right. And then
hotel motel.
Hotel. Yeah, okay. And then what's in the 224 million?
The what other kind of agencies.
Tax? Right. What kind of taxes were in there?
It's a state shared income tax, the sales tax.
State shared. Okay.
The income tax is 110 million in the other agencies.
Right. And then you said the sales tax. Is that the city sales tax or is that a state shared sales tax? Because the city has their own sales tax.
Yes.
Okay. And what dollar number is that sales tax?
Let me see. I have the detail, Amelia.
You have the detail.
Yes. Okay. Let me bring this up. And this is an additional report out of our system. Because we don't report on the annual financial report at that level of detail, but we have the information available. So these are the totals for fiscal year 23, only including general fund. So we have local taxes was 14.3 million. Public utility tax was 27 million. Let me see, what else do we have? Business privilege tax, 299 million. So, and those are all included in what we're reporting as taxes. And then you also ask, and we'll be happy to provide this detail.
Right, but you have them in two different, so you can't have 299 million in the column that says it was 224 million. I'm just trying to figure out if all these numbers add up.
Maybe Marcella, instead of showing the budget to actuals, if you show them the general fund main statement, the government wide, where it breaks out the major tax categories.
Mm-hmm. I think, and you know what? You have that data, but where can the public see it? Where is it available?
The ACFR report is available on the city's website.
Okay.
And it's under Business Services Department.
Yeah, but that's the one we're looking at, right? The ACFR?
Yes.
Yeah.
Referring to the detail.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do residents go to see the detail? Because that's the problem with this document. If you're just a person wanting to know, where's this money coming from? You can't tell from this report. It's just too summarized. I mean, there's a lot of data in there and everything, but you can't tell where the money's coming from. And the thing that, and so if people don't have access to it, I don't understand why we wouldn't.
On this main statement, the first one that's in the APR, Marcella will walk through some of the detail level so that way you can see.
Is this the one that you're referring to, Aaron?
No, I think the general fund will be your next one, where it breaks it out. It will be split on two pages. There you go. So you'll have your tax amounts, I think, broken out in a little bit better detail here to show. Although with a vertical presentation, it might be a little bit tricky. In the physical book, you can look at both pages at the same time. So you see
how. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. Yes. Yeah, because this the two pages, this one and the following one is
right.
It opens up to be a single statement on the book, and the detail would be here, where you have the general revenues and we have the breakdown of revenues. Of course, you have the titles here, and then the detail is going to be on this other side of the page.
Oh, I. On that side. So mm-hmm. This is, so the bottom section where it says general revenues goes with page 25?
24 and 25 have one full statement.
Net expense revenue, yeah, I don't know. I can't, from a layperson's standpoint, I can't read this. I can't read it. I don't know what it means. And so it's just, I mean, I can see taxes, property tax, privilege tax, doesn't have any numbers next to it. Public utility, transient occupancy tax, it doesn't have any numbers next to it. But that's all right. One of the things that I am wondering about is all of a sudden, at the end of, actually the beginning of this year, about a month ago, we're finding out about this money that the council people have. Oh, I've been allocated, I've got this much money in discretionary funds. And I'm wondering, where is that coming from? So I'm trying to, when I look at budgets and stuff, I want to see you guys are in the black somewhere. This money is just being kind of moved around. Every time we ever contact anybody about anything, we've been told for the last, I don't know, 5 years, there's no money. And now they're doing it again. And so, but there is money, depending on who you ask. And so and it depends on what you want to buy, or something, but neighborhoods are always told there's no money. And that's just the canned answer. And then you see these enormous budgets and it just seems you cannot figure out where the extra money's coming from. All of a sudden there's an extra 50,000 to do this or 150,000 to do that, or I can't figure out where it's coming from. Do you have a budget for council ward offices in here? That's a discretionary budget.
It would, so the way we present it on the annual financial report is going to be based on the fund,
right,
which is by fund. I think you may be referring to the ARPA funding, possibly.
I don't know.
That the ward offices and council members and various most city departments have funds allocated for that.
Okay.
It will be out of the ARPA funds, if that's the case, and I'm assuming that that's the case, which is going to be in our disaster relief fund, which you can see here.
Okay.
And then, as Erin mentioned, the fund balances is really what we're tracking. If there's any restrictions on the balances by fund, so these are presentation of fund balances for the major funds. Major fund is going to be for governmental funds, general fund, mass transit, ARPA. We present it as disaster relief because we include ARPA in the initial portion of ARPA or CRF funding in the disaster relief fund. We have Section 115 as a major fund, and then the total of all the other non-major governmental funds. So I think this is a good statement to review if you're interested in seeing the fund balance for major funds, but we also have fund balance for non-major funds further in the annual report. But this is going to give you the non-spendable fund balance, restricted fund balance, any committed fund balance that has been designated and committed for specific purposes, assigned, and I think most importantly, it may be what you're looking for, the unassigned fund balance. So this is the fund balance available in the general fund out of the $343 million in the general fund available in its fund balance. $111 million is unassigned, meaning that that's going to be the carried forward in general fund for mayor and council to determine how that, you know, if there's how they're going to spend those general fund dollars. So this may be.
Okay. And what is the non-major governmental funds? Because I see it's a negative of 238,000. Mm-hmm. How can there be a negative of government funds?
Amelia, could you bring up that detail for the negative unassigned? So, and this is the non-major governmental funds is going to be combination of any governmental funds that are not any of the ones presented here.
Maybe, right, but it's a negative.
Maybe jump to the combined end statements so she can see what feeds that column. So it's just going to be deeper in the book is where the non-majors are listed in detail.
Into
here's the unassigned. So it's in the special revenue. So these are the combining statements for the non-major special revenue funds. I think I presented last month, we had about 80 funds overall citywide, including governmental enterprise funds, internal service funds. So this is referring to the non-major special revenue funds, which are part of the governmental funds that we have at citywide.
And that's U.S. government, right?
Governmental funds are
funds you get from
city
the
funds.
They're in governmental accounting, GASB, which is a regulatory board, kind of designates the method of accounting and the fund types. Governmental doesn't relate to the U.S. government. It just relates to a governmental accounting method, special mm-hmm. revenue being one piece of governmental type accounting funds.
Lois, I think so. Just once we start reviewing the non-major special revenue funds, right? Because that's where we saw that balance, negative balance in fund balances. I see that Part 2 Sun, for example, which is on page 134, there was $168,000 of negative unassigned fund balance. So that's the deficit for that fund.
I don't understand how the, I don't understand how you can have a negative funds. That means you spent money you didn't have, right? But I don't understand how they, I don't understand what it means. So I see Park Tucson, lease receivable, cash and cash equivalents, I don't know, accounts payable. Yeah, I don't, how are they, leases, deferred revenues on leases, leases of what? I mean, you could go on all day. You know, with all the stuff in this report, it's humongous. But I mean, you just start looking at these negatives and I'm like, I don't understand it. Why are we negative? What are, yeah. I still don't understand how it's negative. So the top part is the assets. And then they've got liabilities. Deferred inflows of resources. Maybe this is it. Unavailable revenue leases, whatever that is, leases for who knows what. And then it's, it says unassigned minus 168,000 for the fund balance. I mean, how can you have a negative? If you're in the hole, I guess you can have it. I don't know. Can you explain it?
Yes. So for Part 2, for example, it's going to be the use of the fund balance. They may have had more revenues, and I can go into the revenue and expenditure income statement side in a bit, more expenditures than they have revenues for that specific fiscal year.
Well, that's an obvious, but why would you plan that? Why would you plan to have more expenditures than revenue?
I don't know that this is planned. I think this is the financial statement at the end of June.
This is the actual. Okay.
These are actuals. Yes.
But does it say where? It says unassigned, minus 168,000. That's just like having a miscellaneous. Then you got to go pull up a report and figure out where'd that money go. And that's only part of it. That's only 168,000 of what they're short of. I don't remember what that number was. It was on a different page.
168.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, 168. Let me look back at that thing.
While you look that up, the those fund balance titles, I know it can be somewhat confusing, but those are standards that we have to use.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So
I know
each one has a definition determined by GASB on what is reported to them.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, as far as being a tool for residents and citizens to evaluate what you're doing, they can't do it. They don't have access to the internal information. We're just looking at you'd have to take this thing apart little by little. So, yeah, I always question where they get the money at and who's in the hole. I mean, from the IAPC, I was hoping that the IAPC would do things like do audits on processes, and one result might be to have more efficient processes to save the money. The city seems to be happy if they spend the money they're allocated. They don't seem to really focus on saving any money. So I don't know. Hey, I do have one other question. How much money is allowed to be left over at the end of a budget year? So say you didn't have to spend all your money. How much money is allowed to be a surplus?
So that might be a conversation on a different agenda item. We could we could, if the commission wants to, it's kind of covered in the expenditure limitation report, which is
okay.
Completely different document. It would be worthwhile. Some of the other questions kind of hovering around like budget, how does ward offices, where does their money come from? So it sounds like two other ones, not really this agenda item, but I'm making notes of.
Yeah.
It yeah. Sounds like there's a beat there for a future agenda.
It would be kind of interesting. You first.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to close the loop on the Park Tucson, right? Because we started that discussion with Park Tucson.
Yeah.
And you ask, where is that negative fund balance coming from? So great. What I can see, again, going back to a specific fund within what we reported for fiscal year 23, I mentioned, okay, they may have had more expenditures than they had revenues. Well, not in fiscal year 23. So what I can see here, they had $4.9 million in revenues. They had $4.6 in expenditures. How come they still have a negative fund balance, right? So if you see here, we had the beginning fund balance for Park Tucson was the negative $175. So this is coming from a prior fiscal year where they had, they brought over a negative balance. They reduced that negative by $5,000, so they had the $168,000 negative.
So where do they borrow the money from? Because if I had to borrow that money, I'd have to pay interest on it. Is that the way it works? Or they're borrowing it from another fund? I can't borrow it from a front fund, but borrowing it from the city somehow?
Depending on the fund, if it's a governmental fund, they may be borrowing from the city, from the general fund. And it may be for specific purposes.
I'd be wanting to know, when do they expect to pay off that deficit? And so, questions like that.
Since you're on that statement, quite a curious one that you picked. If you look at the transfers out, that's them, I think that's them repaying a loan from the general fund in the past. Probably, so what that financial statement story tells you, that probably caught them off guard of their budget, because they're budgeting for their operations and revenues coming in slightly above, generating slightly more money than they anticipated, but then they had to pay back some money. So that payment out probably catches them off guard. Sometimes departments are very focused on their operational, which you'll see kind of above the line. And then they might have not realized, oh yeah, if we didn't have to pay back debt from previous years, we would have made a couple hundred thousand dollars instead of $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Right. But in this case, at $5,770 a year, they're going to pay that off in what, 100 years? I mean, it just doesn't. Makes sense.
I think it depends. As an example, for Tucson, I know that they're still recovering after the pandemic, right? So if this would not have been we can go back to prior years to review the fund balances that Park Tucson had prior to the pandemic. Yeah. I think they're still catching up to the recovery that other departments may not have.
I don't know, but anyhow,
may have seen that they haven't.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to be asked, but there's just going to be a response for everything. There is not necessarily, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to expect. The other thing is that, and this probably, I mean, this general fund, it's always where people point. It goes to the general fund. Code enforcement fines. They go to the general fund. They throw everything in this general fund category. It's just a slush fund. I don't know. And then they pull things out of there when they want to, and then they tell us there's no money for other things. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like I said, I'm not an accountant. If I was, I'd be studying this thing, but it wouldn't do me any good because there's nothing, you know. It's all, as long as it balances, the city just kind of goes with that.
This
cuts
is
money where they need to.
July 23, is it not?
Yeah, July 31st, 2023.
It's kind of like a frozen picture of where we were at that time.
Yep.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, yeah, year ended, but it gives you what the budget was plus the what they actually spent, you know. And so you can see, I mean,
it
forecasting
shows, shows what they did during their fiscal year.
Yeah. And forecasting is always the hard part. You never know what it's going to be, you know, but.
It may be, Aaron, that the budget book may be a good presentation, right? If we review the budget, because Lois, I think if you're looking from a citizen's perspective, you're looking forward on the budget to see, okay, what are we projecting or what do we have? If, you know, fiscal year 24, we're currently in fiscal year 24. It's no longer a projection. It is what we have. So we have the budget to actuals. A quarter before the end of the fiscal year. So it may be, if we focus on revenues and expenditures, that may give you more overview of what the city is actually spending and how is that in comparison to what we projected. How are the revenues doing? How are the expenditures doing? Are we over budget? Are we under budget? Because the annual financial report, it's more the accounting in the long-term balance sheet presentation for citywide, including all the different funds.
Oh, yeah. I think this is fine. It still tells you what the budget was and what you actually spent. Yeah. So it's really no different. But, you know, it's all about predicting what you can do.
You might want to, Marcel, if you could pull up the note that has general fund balance. Because I think that is pretty close to the point the chairperson is getting to of what got designated out of those hundreds of millions of dollars, the committed and assigned fund balance, what is that set aside for? That in conjunction with the current budget book, because then the budget book is, here's additionally what we plan to do going forward. And here, this would show a citizen, here's what your legislative body has decided to do with your tax revenue, basically.
Okay. I have on the screen, which is included in note one, and I'm showing page 50 in the annual financial report. And this is giving us the fund balance by major fund, which includes general fund, in the combination of all the non-major governmental funds. And so this is giving you some more detail of what we include in non-spendable, like inventory, long-term investments, prepaid expenditures, what we consider restricted. So in general fund, we have fund balance restricted for crime prevention, investigation, and education. It may be a specific program. We have an additional balance restricted for police and fire equipment. Then we go into what is committed within the general fund.
And then if I could break in real quick, just to help her with the help the commission with the definitions. So the non-spendable is things, not anything that you could touch in any way. Like you can't touch that money. Restricted has external constraints on that money. So things like a grant. So there's legal restrictions there. The next categories that Marcella talks about are going to be where your mayor and council have made choices.
Hey, I got a question right here. It says litter cleanup, $757,000. Where is that money? I would love to see the details on that thing. I don't clean up any litter around here. I clean up litter. Funny.
That's what they set aside to spend.
I know. It's amazing. But that's for next year's budget, right?
This is at the end of June 2023.
It was. Is that what they spent? Or is that what they planned on spending?
Out of their fund balance. So the fund balance is basically the money you have left after everything you've done in that year. here's what you have left. And then this is what you have in your pocket. Now, the committed part is out of that money in your pocket.
Yeah.
We want
Where's that part at?
Earmark $750,000 for litter. That might span the next 1 year or 10 years. Those details will be in the budget side. But in here, you can see, here's what we've set aside.
Interesting. But we just don't know for how many years going forward, because some of that money is designated for a year. Some might be 5 years, 10 years or something.
That's where this, in conjunction with the budget book, kind of completes the picture of that kind of question.
Can we delay further discussion on this until we have the budget to compare with?
I guess so.
Yes. The commission's review of the AFR is kind of a separate thing.
Yeah.
But then this, because they are very far apart in time, usually, before you get to a finalized budget book. But if that's the desire, to look at them together would be a good exercise to do.
Well, as you indicated before we went on the record, the IAPC is going to have to give a letter to mayor and council as to our approval. Anything that makes us understand it better would be helpful.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah. Thank you for all the effort you put into this.
Yeah, thanks for the responses.
Thank you very much.
Call to the audience.
It's not here and no one online.
Future agenda items. I have a couple of questions here. Has there been any effort to allow the IAPC to just directly discuss mayor and council at a meeting?
Yes, it's on the list. I don't know if Antonio has reached out to see him on the agenda. I did mention it to him that every board and commission has at least once a year that they are supposed to go in front of mayor and council.
I'm well aware that today is Commissioner Andrews' last meeting, which means today we have 3 out of 7 who are here, and that made a quorum. I'm not sure what the quorum will be next week or next month.
It'll be 3. The quorum will be 2. 2 out of 3.
And that is absolutely unacceptable. The commission cannot function that way.
Duly noted and agreed.
And if we're not going to be, we haven't had any major requests from the council or the mayor or the city manager. If we're not going to be utilized, it doesn't seem appropriate to take 150 of your hours or hours to work with it. I mean, it was what you spent for this, isn't it, 150 hours?
Yeah, so that's what's in the audit plan, roughly.
You're moving on and city manager's office is coming into this position, true?
Yeah, exactly, because internal audit was traditionally the liaison for this board and commission, with internal audit also being vacant, then you're given a city manager or appointed person to come in, because internal audit over the years has moved. Now it's housed in city manager's office. Idea would be once that's filled, then the internal auditor would be the liaison here again. But again, it's a valid question. If the current mayor and council don't feel like staffing it, then why continue it? They would have to then change the ordinance.
Have to change the ordinance, of course. Yeah.
Or if they value it, then staff it.
Yeah.
Are you moving to a different position, Aaron? I don't quite get what you're saying.
Yes. So I have already been appointed another assignment. from City Manager's office to serve as interim deputy director of business services. But you'll still see me because I'll be doing the business services updates. As right. I move into that position, then some of those internal audit duties get passed on to other people, the board being one of the duties, because as business services deputy director, I have to serve on a couple other boards. So there's just not enough bandwidth to do them all.
Right. Hey, do you know who puts out NewsNet? Who writes NewsNet? Because I'm on that mailing list. I get every, I don't know, at least once a week, if not every few days.
NewsNet, depending on where it's coming out of, are the city's public information officers. The main ones are out of the city manager's office, but I believe some departments put together their own NewsNet. And then they submit it, and then it gets routed through the main public information office before it goes out.
We need to be advertising in the city's newsletters, like NewsNet, for commissioners. They've not done that. We've been sending, you know, requests here or there. I know I've sent personally requests to ward offices in the past that we need these people. You never hear anything. It's like they don't know what it is. I'm almost positive they don't know what it is. So yeah, it doesn't get the visibility that it should. But even if we just put out the position description and you know, said the ward offices that were needed these, who have vacancies, at least it would give it a little more visibility.
Well, I would very much like to talk to the mayor. Now, I understand they've got the budget to deal with and a number of things that are really pressing. But I would like the opportunity to directly relate to the mayor and council as to the functionality of this commission.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. I've heard it said, don't be first, don't be last, never volunteer. I don't know if Ward 4 has appointed somebody to take my place or if they're even interested. They did seem interested enough to reappoint me when I was about to expire. So I do believe they care about this. It is always plausible that if we, the commissioners, know someone that would be interested in volunteering, make a presentation to a council ward office where there's a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because these appointments can be citywide. They don't have to be by ward.
Right.
And maybe that would help, but certainly it's not the commission's responsibility to staff itself, but that might be something if you know someone that you would be a good referral source. The other thing, as far as the mayor and council giving us things to audit, I think the only thing I remember was Councilman Durham with the code enforcement audit. There might have been one other, but certainly being independent and living in this city, I would encourage you guys to audit those things that you find, you know, needing to be looked at within the city itself, being a citizen. And certain amendments gave you guys the authority to do that. So it's great power to be independent.
I feel, though, that if someone, either the city manager or one of the council members or the mayor, have questions about functioning somewhere, well, they'll pay more attention to whatever we've come up with. They've asked to look at.
Yeah, but you know,
I have not heard. I have sent only about three letters to the mayor and council.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything from that. It's like dropping right. it in a well.
Like I said, I don't think they know what it does, truthfully, because I've talked to Ward 3, the head of the Ward 3, well, the staff head over there. She didn't have any idea what it was. And Steve Kozacik has left his position. So now we're left with nobody for now. There'll be somebody soon, but they're not going to know either. Whoever they bring back, they're just, I think a lot of the commissions are having the same problem, but I, you know, I don't think we should wait for somebody to request an audit. There are so many departments and so many processes. I think the citizens are very frustrated with a lot of what the city does. And
Mr. Pollack, I only brought that up to indicate that there was a time in this commission's past when the both the city manager and mayor and council made a number of requests because they were they thought it was important for the IAPC to do this. And I think I'm saying the same thing you are, just a different way. I think that our utility has somewhat faltered.
Well, they don't see the value. And so it's probably from just people, you know, multiple city managers, multiple council people, you know, it got lost in the shuffle when people come in and go out. And yeah, you know, what might be a good thing to do is look up past history and maybe, you know, what audits they did do, make a list of those, make a list of the years that they were done, and just follow it all the way up to today to see where it fell off. And but make a presentation. I think that's a good idea of what, you know, just a few slides or something of what the value is, what it could be.
From the period from 2009 to 2017, I know that we were very busy. And we had a number of subcommittees out doing a lot of investigations. That was then. This is now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because there's even more money, more people, and more problems or more processes. So it doesn't make sense for it to be less oversight, you know, from then, from a practical standpoint. Yeah, there's just a lot of opportunity and a lot of opportunity for improvement and improvement in the budget. What they're going to need to be spending. So
assuming we could get a quorum at the next meeting, I would like to continue this discussion and also follow up on whether or not we ever do get on the docket for the mayor and council.
I have that kind of as the top priority. Vacancies, strategy, on mayor and council docket, presentation to the mayor and council, possible inclusion in NewsNet. I'll put that all on an agenda item, strategies for vacancies. And I'll inform Antonio that's the main one to try to line up, even if it involves bringing in the chiefs of staff again that we've already done, but maybe pulling in city manager office leadership and public information office to help get the word out, those types of things.
And we will be getting a new city manager once the budget is.
Right. I think they already announced that.
Did they? Tim Tamura?
Deputy city manager is going
to. Is he going to be the city manager or just acting?
I'm not sure of that.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. I've been out of town when it happened. Okay. Well, that sounds great. I hope we can get something going. So you're going to check on NewsNet and find out how we can get something in there. However, that kind of goes around the council people in a way, but I don't care. We have to find people. And I thought that you had to live in your ward to be nominated, and only the cities was at large, the mayor.
I do not live in Ward 4.
Right? I do not live in Ward 5.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I didn't know that because it says, it specifically says mayor's appointee can live anywhere in the city. Okay.
No, I'll have to the term is that a commissioner must live in the city of Tucson. That's the language of the statute.
Okay. Great. I'll keep that in mind. It's got to be somebody out there.
I will know. For what it's worth, that in the period of time that I formally served on the commission, we had a great number of former city employees who knew the system, and they were retired now, so it was not so hard to get them all in a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one or two city previous employees can help direct the things to look at. As I move into business services, I can also now give recommendations on things to look at too. So hopefully if we get some staff, there's all kinds of things to look at.
And are we done with this then?
Sounds good. I have the vacancies as future agenda item from today's discussion. Looks like an overview of budget and how it relates to the annual financials. Expenditure limitation report, well, it's kind of baked into that too. That's where you have to report to the state, here's your budget. If you don't spend it all, here's how that happens. So that's the mechanism for that. On our previous ones, the things Antonio is also working on is the speed enforcement data, the vans and I think they're radars, but whatever the other thing is that they used to track. And then public safety negotiations, both pay and vacancies. And then also from today's vacancies citywide, that's baked into the budget also. Yeah. And I'll note it out there. So it sounds like those are future agenda items.
Before adjournment, then, I would like to commend Commissioner Andrews for his service.
Yes.
Like that on the record.
It's on the record.
Yeah, I'm sorry to see you go.
It's been my privilege to know and work with each of you, and I'm impressed with your dedication, your knowledge, and the effort you've invested in this, and city staff too. Boy, that just seems like an additional layer of duty. So thank you for all you did.
Thank you
for us.
Oh, you know, I saw the other internal auditor. What was her name? The last one?
Leah.
I saw her at a city event for transport to Plan Tucson. So, yeah. All kinds of questions. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks very much for serving on the commission. That's for sure. To everybody. I still think it's a worthwhile function. It can be very beneficial.
I wish you the best going forward, and I know you'll all do well, and there's a lot more of that.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, for everything. Yeah.
With no further comments, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Bye, Lois.
Bye-bye.